The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk. Winners and sinners. On The Hard Shoulder.
Yes, Alison Curtis is with me, presenter of Weekend Breakfast on Today FM, and Ruth Scott, radio presenter and humanist celebrant. To pick winners and sinners from the week gone by, is the summer a busy time for humanist celebrants?
I've kind of forgotten what my husband looks like, in a sense. There's a lot going on. But actually, the lovely part is that after all of that, tiny bit quieter now, this last week or two, which is great because I'm already getting inquiries for 2027. What about
27?
September? 2027.
You're fully booked up for 26.
I'm almost booked up for 20, but people are planning ahead. Like, I'm booked this year.
So wow.
Who books 2 years ahead for that?
A lot of people do.
Some people do, and some people book a couple of months out.
She could break up by then.
God, ever the optimist, Kieran, huh?
Is the deposit non-refundable?
Oh, please.
We're talking about spent it, guys.
We're talking about the love business here. The love business. We don't talk about refundable.
Emphasis on the word business.
But of course.
I believe that. Like, I know a lot of people are engaged for like 2 years, three years, whereas I was like, no, 5 months, let's get this done.
Some people say to me, oh, we're leaving this a bit long. You know, we're engaged now about 2 years. And I'm like, what? That's not long. If you came to me and said 10 years, I might say, yeah, maybe that's a bit long.
Yeah.
It's whatever works. I don't care.
So what are the busy periods? What are the fallow periods? What are quiet periods in the year for a wedding?
January, February, until the middle of March. It's a bit like going to the gardening centre. It's quiet until about Paddy's weekend when the weather is warm enough you can buy a bit of fence paint.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they'll tell you, don't put up any fence paint until the weather gets a little bit warmer, and it always does around Paddy's. Mm. Bizarrely, April this year and next year, bonkers. September and October this year, fairly
mental. September is a busy month.
Yeah.
We were September.
And actually, I've less this August than I've ever had, but like June and July had a glut. Part of it as well is just, where are you taking your bookings? You know, are you taking them all and they all happen to be in the early part of the year or whatever? So.
Okay. Mm.
But I do like to chisel out a few to give me time to come in here and visit you, Carol.
But then this kind of brings us on to your winner of the week. Are you available then for Travis and Taylor if they were to inquire?
I would actually get such a kick out of doing something like that, because it would be,
could you imagine?
Lovely.
And weren't you talking about it possibly being in Ireland?
Yeah, Emily Keegan, our resident Swifty, suggested they're going to get married in Ireland.
Oh, I'm going to have to.
Now, she based this, I think, 100% on optimism.
Oh, yeah.
Rather than any actual evidence. Yeah.
And, do you know what? I really like this story. I think it is a lovely news story for the week. And I know there'll be people saying, yeah, so what? She's only a pop singer. She probably doesn't write her own music. Okay, can I just stop you there? She is the most successful tour
in the
history of music. She's done so much stuff that just show her up has been an incredible businesswoman. And I like as well that we don't, like the Rolling Stones, get to see pictures of her falling down drunk. You know, and think of even when any of the Beatles got married, even when Westlife got married. Sure, I was delighted to see Sheila Shoiga last week on Instagram posting her picture that she got married. I just think it's a nice story. And I think, fair play to them. It must be bloody hard to find somebody. And let's not forget, I mean, I don't want to sort of make a point out of this. She's worth $1.6 billion and her future husband is worth $60 million. So it can't
be. Hope he gets a prenup.
Kieran, like, you must know. You must know, you know, when you were getting married, like, do I make sure that the person I'm marrying is earning more or less than me? Like, that's a big difference to have.
You're not going to compete with her, though. Like, it's the first time world tour has broken the billion. Like, you're just not going to.
Yeah. She's a billionaire and a half.
Yeah.
I don't think you could describe him, though, as being quite cap in hand. He's worth 60 million at the same time. I think he'll be, if things don't work out, I think Travis is going to
be okay. Yeah, but at the same time, like, even psychologically, that's a big gap. I don't even know how many times you have to multiply 60
million. But that's the whole thing
millions.
That I think about the relationship, that everyone's like, look, finally somebody, like, all women should marry their biggest fans kind of business. And like, he was the first person she ever dated that was not afraid of letting her shine.
And do you know what was kind of nice, and I know this from marrying people, a lot of times they'll say to me, oh well, we met on Hinge, we met on Bumble, a few meet on Grindr, and they met with a friendship bracelet initially. He made her a friendship bracelet with his number.
You sound like Elizabeth Taylor. I know from marrying people.
So it could happen, though, Ruth.
It could happen. You could be there.
This is the most terrible story, and this will not shine a decent light on me. I was marrying a couple one time, and they were coming from the States, and they said, our friend Taylor is going to be singing for us. And there was a tiny bit of me that thought, oh my God, imagine if it's Taylor Swift that turns up to sing there. True story, I'm happy to admit that I am that person. But it's great. It's a good news story. She's a huge businesswoman.
Yeah.
People got excited about weddings in the past. Why not now?
Were you excited, Alison?
I was, you know, I was happy for her. And I like the ring quite a bit as well.
Do you?
Because it's not
the big ring.
It's not a diamond, right? Like it's a,
I thought it was.
It's an opal, I think.
Mm.
No?
I think it was a diamond.
Is it a diamond?
Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe I didn't care that much to notice that. No, I thought it was cute. I'm like, Ruth, I think it's a really cute news story. I mean, I just think, yeah. If you want to buy into it and believe that it's a real love story, which I do.
Oh, no, don't.
No,
are you going to start saying
No, I do.
Total machination.
No, I do. No. I do believe it is. So, yeah, it was a nice story.
Yeah.
Ciarán, are you convinced by the good news?
Yeah, I am. Like, is it okay to be indifferent? You kind of, everyone has to have a strong opinion about everything these days. And I'm kind of indifferent about it. I don't mind. I don't actively put on Taylor Swift music. But do I turn it off? I probably don't either.
No.
So it's fine.
Yeah. And my attitude to them getting married is,
it's fine.
His brother, I'm more obsessed with him.
Oh,
why
are you
obsessed with him?
I like big bearded guys for a start, but also he's just so bizarre and like crazy and ridiculous and funny. So yeah, I'm more obsessed with Jason.
So Travis and Taylor then were your winner of the week.
Absolute winner of
Who's
the week.
Who's your winner of the week,
Melissa
Alison?
McCarthy. So she had her birthday on the 26th of August. And so people were all celebrating her and just saying how much they love her. And she is hilarious. And she just seems like a really good person. That's a lovely love story as well. Her husband, Ben, and her have been together forever and they do everything together. So I basically saw a quote, which I should have had ready for you. I'm sorry.
I'm going to say what she's looking for this. You know,
Alison's on her phone.
Sorry.
Okay. When you said she had a birthday during the week, that makes it sound like she turned like 90.
No.
Or 80.
A big roundy birthday.
Okay.
So this was the quote that everyone was celebrating. Everybody's a train wreck in their own special way. And I love this. There's something wildly freeing about someone who's unapologetically and who knows that they're a train wreck and doesn't hide it and just bulldozes through life.
I feel
and
seen.
I think a lot of us will be feeling seen from that. So that's why she's the winner of that quote. But there's lots of reasons why I love her. But I'm like,
what are the other reasons you love Melissa McCarthy?
I just think she is properly hilarious. And whenever she's like parachuted into a production, like whether it's on at Saturday Night Live, which I know you love, or Bridesmaids, like she stole the show. And I mean, I was never a fan of Gilmore Girls because, as I say, nobody talks like that.
Lorelai. Oh, that's right. She was the woman in the kitchen.
Yeah, she is just, you're just drawn to her. She's properly hilarious, like a proper star. That's why I like her.
You know, I recently realized, I was told that the film she was in called Spy or I Spy, that was pretty much written on the hoof. So the actors would be in situation.
Yeah.
And the writer would say, okay, try it again, but try it with this line. And they would just do it off the top of their head. And it was...
Yeah, she's a great improv.
Like if you watch that process on YouTube, I lead a very boring life, clearly, watching...
No.
Melissa McCarthy, it's fascinating. She has that creativity and ability to...
Yeah, she's just hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Three worthy winners of the week. Melissa McCarthy, Travis, let's not forget him, and Taylor. We will be picking our sinners of the week on by after we get the news headlines with Alan. Alan, thank you very much. Alison and Ruth are both still with me. So, Ruth, who's your sinner of the week?
Oh, God. This is butter-related.
Okay.
Excess
butter. You say that as if a reference to butter should come with a warning of
some sort.
Well,
I think this one might...
I have a friend who hates butter.
What?
Like, he has a phobia of butter.
Really?
Yeah, he just cannot stand butter. He can't stand the sight, the smell, the sensation of butter.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's delicious. I love when you pick
What's
up a bit of bread.
There?
Yeah, I don't know.
There's
even
a little bit left on your fingers and you can just like, it's delicious.
Everybody liked butter.
And I'm going to have to like, it's not that I don't like America. I do. But your butter is not.
Oh, dairy in North America
compare
sucks.
It to Irish butter.
Now, okay.
The reason I'm telling you this is because, for starters, I have memories of the EU Butter Mountain and the butter vouchers as a kid where you get your free butter. And apparently butter sculpting is quite a thing at some of these American state fairs, particularly the ones that are the dairy states, let's say. So I suppose when you think of this time of year, you're thinking of the likes of the harvest fairs and the agricultural shows and the ploughing championships, right? So same kind of thing, both sides of the sea. Except they do it with their, I'm sorry, America, with your horrible American butter. And I was looking at this video of a sculptor who sculpts a 90-pound lump of butter into a famous into a woman's likeness. And then it's done in a kind of a glass fridge that people coming to the fair can look at while they're doing it.
That's kind of a skill.
Yeah. But, what's your problem, Ruth?
Well, I'll tell you. Think back. Lionel Richie.
What do you hate culture?
Lionel Richie, hello video. Do you remember where the blind woman sculpted his face without just from having touched it? And it was weird in clay, but it's, I just cannot tolerate the idea of somebody manhandling my butter.
You hate culture and you're an ableist.
Yes, that's it.
That's what this is.
Long live the butter. The saltier, the better. Go away with your unsalted butter.
So your issue is with butter sculpting, or with the taste of American
butter? America. It's both.
I'm
meant to be going to the States later this year. I can see myself getting stopped.
And the reason why the dairy is, like, it's obviously more mass produced, but dairy and chocolate needs to have all, they need to have all these preservatives in it so it doesn't melt because the weather is warmer over there. Like, our chocolate is awful in Canada.
It really is.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So that's why the butter isn't as nice.
See, I'll get into Canada because I didn't slag it off. You two, on the other hand.
But,
and like a 90 pound lump of butter. I like butter, but even the prospect of that much butter sort of almost sticks at the back
that
of my throat.
I'm amazed they can carve it.
Yeah, I guess if it was hard, I guess it's in the fridge, as I just said. So it's like an ice sculpture, I guess.
It's like working in a butcher's fridge.
I think it would not be that. It would be quite easy, wouldn't it? It'd be like a soft clay.
Make it look like somebody.
I was in Uganda a few years ago and they carved all of their watermelons into incredible.
Oh, that's amazing.
And that was an amazing.
Yeah, pineapples as well.
Yeah.
Oh, it's incredible.
It's incredible,
I'm excited even if I'm in a hotel and they do the bit of sculpture with the towels. But with the butter, I cannot be won over by it. Oh, by the way, there was a film called Butter starring Jennifer Garner, Hugh Jackman and Alicia Silverstone about 15 years ago called Butter, about butter sculpting. Not surprisingly, it bombed. See?
I
butter sculpting.
That.
There was a
Bad
movie
news.
About butter sculpting.
Yes. Thank you, internet. Called Butter.
That's
wow.
I'm not joking you. I promise you.
Right.
Somebody somewhere is going to be watching that film tonight.
Yeah, someone
it's
has
gonna be
seen
me.
It.
Yeah.
So, what's your sinner of the week then? Or who is your sinner of the week, Alison?
Well, maybe it's a guy called Doran Binder. So water sommelier. Am I saying that word right?
Sommelier.
Sommelier. So there's lots of restaurants in the US that are doing this, but there's one now in the UK. So, I mean, I love water so much that I rinse all the goodness out of my body. Like, I do drink a lot of water. I've said this before. But it's now on the menu. And this guy at Doran Binder is from Denmark originally. So he's picked 7 waters for this menu.
Yeah.
So I just feel like, and they're like, we serve
it.
I know it is mental. Sorry, the two things of tonight. This is a mental show. Yeah. Thanks, Ruth. So they put it in wine glasses because they don't want to be disrespectful to the water. It just seems like a whole another level.
So where is this in the UK?
They're doing it. One restaurant in the UK is doing it right now, but loads are doing it in the US. And they just want water to shine and they want people to have their options with water. So a bit of a deep dive. There is quite a difference in water, apparently. So when I was dissing it, I was like, this is, well, hang on a minute now. So there's low TDS, which is low sodium, so that's your soft water, and then high is your hard water. Mm. But what I was surprised at is the different minerals do change the taste. So calcium makes it really sweet, and magnesium makes it very bitter. So then this guy has a list of bottles, like you do wine, on this menu, starting at a 5 or going to 19 sterling pound for a bottle
of foods
water.
And their money. Yeah.
And also he pairs it. So it was a big article in The Guardian. It's still there if people want to check it out. So he pairs certain waters with certain dishes.
Wow.
Isn't crazy?
It's so mental on so many levels.
Yeah, it is.
And we could actually already do that in Ireland, though, if you consider most of the water west of the Shannon, hard as nails.
That's true.
Scummy tea, limescale kettles, whereas us softies living up here in Dublin with our soft water.
Yeah.
I mean, that's at least two types.
And like things do.
With a lot of limes. Yeah.
soft.
Yeah.
But this one.
But I don't think it tastes that. Sorry, this idea that it's sweeter and more.
It depends on the amount of minerals in it.
Yeah, but everything is relative. Have you ever had a drink of water and went, well, that's very sweet?
Only
sometimes,
when there's cordial.
Yeah, I have actually.
No, you
I have.
Haven't. You're just and saying that,
you know,
for the sake of this radio item.
Did we talk about this before? So they're like, this I thought, now I'm suckered in. Now it's my winner.
Yeah.
Room temperature is always the way to go.
You never, ever put ice in your water.
Well, apparently, the colder it gets,
on.
You kill the flavor.
Yeah. Oh, no.
No, room temperature all the way. I hate when they put it. I always ask for room temperature water.
I thought it was like
like cold.
No, I
thought
like
there was a reason you were saying don't put ice in it because you'll get cooties or something.
No,
it's
hard. Yeah, it's hard to drink. When it's too cold, you can only sip it. You want to take a drink of water.
Oh, yeah.
It has to be room temperature.
You need some good toothpaste. If the water's too cool and too cold and it's hurting your teeth, is that
No,
it
it's just it's too awkward, and then the ice makes
it's
it kind
butter,
of it's bouncing
it's
around. It's my butter, right?
Can I tell you, I would love to see you drinking a nice glassy water or icy water, because I feel this would be something that people would nearly watch, because the way you're describing it makes it sound
I like that character in Airplane, you know, where he goes, I have a drinking problem, and they just throw
them in his face. But this guy has 7 million views of his content about water on social media every month.
Is that 7 million people going, what the hell is he doing?
I imagine
the
so,
whole
yeah.
bottled water thing is a fiasco.
It's bad,
but it's also just drink tap water. Yeah. I take great pleasure in the fanciest of restaurants, but if I find themselves, I'm saying, when I ask for water, I say, "And please,
but
tap
have you not
water.
Ever had tap water that is actually disgusting?
Yes.
Like, and I have, and I go, oh my God, I'm going to be dead in an hour.
I call it train water.
But you haven't died.
No.
Here you are.
I call it train water because I feel like it tastes like it's gone through the pipes on the train. You know, like sometimes when you get a cup of tea, not all the time because I love a cup of tea on a train, but the water can be a little bit, just not, I don't know, not fully.
But is it not mad that if you go down to the local shop, even forget your man's 19 euro sterling bottle or 19 sterling bottle of water, but and you take a litre of milk and a litre of water, that the water is more, the water that falls out of the sky and flows in rivers
but
that everyone
nice
has access to
in it now. Lemon water
costs more than the milk that you had to like raise an animal on land
true.
That you owned.
Kieran, you're never
going to
get a gig with Ballygown at this stage, so I just keep digging.
Well, the National Dairy Council have me on speed dial, you know, and think of all the butter I'll be able to sculpt then, Ruth.
No.
I just think no. And my other pet peeve about water is water with stuff in it.
I love when you like go to mint the rest- water.
Yes.
Cucumber water.
No,
I love it. Lemon water.
I just like, sorry, can I have some room temperature tap water and don't put bits of the garden in it? You know? Leave the garden where it is.
Are you secretly an 85-year-old masquerading as a
no,
young
I just
man?
No, I just think.
Do you still, the thought of a pint of milk makes me actually sick.
That's a look. He's hustling for the Dairy Council gig again.
Love
a big pint of milk. That has to be cold, though, right?
Yeah. Oh, that has to be cold. Okay. Yeah.
It's disgusting,
but I would drink warm milk.
Oh God!
Like not heated up milk. I could drink milk out of, that's been left
straight
out of the
from
fridge,
the cow, unpasteurized, warm but frothy on top.
Yeah. Any type. Yeah. But I would. I absolutely love milk straight from a carton from the shop.
I thought you were going to say from a cow. I really wanted you to say straight from a cow.
What?
I need good bones.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I've lost track of who our sinner of the week is. Water sommeliers.
Water
sommeliers. Yeah, they are con men. Anyway, we are going to take a very quick break and we will be back with the last bit of the show.
Ignition sequence start.
This is the last bit of the show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Yes, Alison and Ruth are both still with me. It is the last bit of the show. Alison, what's on your show this weekend?
So the Great British Bake Off is back.
It's not,
yes,
is it?
It is.
Is it earlier than usual this year?
Earlier. So the Irish contestant, Ian Ross, is on. So yeah, he does really incredible things with bread. He turns it into album covers and stuff like that. And he's really nice. So,
okay.
Yeah, he's going to be
Is that
on.
Almost like sculpting butter?
It is almost
perhaps.
Like sculpting butter.
So is he able to tell you anything about the show? Can he
a
give much
bit.
Away?
When is
bread week?
Yeah, I actually don't know. I think it's week three or four. Mm. But he loves Noel and he's got a... Ian has a mullet and a stash, or mustache. So I was like, Noel made a beeline for you. He's like, yeah, I think we became good friends.
That is, it's nice. It's just kind of feel good television,
oh,
isn't
it?
It
is. Yeah. I like that you watch it a week and then you go back to it a week later.
And I like it this time of the year when, I'm sorry to say, but we know the evenings are getting a little.
They are drawing in, yeah.
It is nice to have that sort of cozy feeling.
It's a family program as well.
Yeah, it is.
Really nice.
You wanted to mention, though, what is the sheephead towel, Ruth?
Yeah, this is the thing I've seen.
Everything's random today.
Yeah.
So, yeah, is that me? Or am I just bringing all sorts of random?
Towel.
So, imagine if you wanted to keep the sweat out of your eyes, protect your head, all while you're in a Korean sauna. And you would end up looking a bit like Princess Leia with the ear things made out of a towel.
Yeah, I often think about this.
Okay,
what would I do to keep the sweat out of my eyes
exactly,
in a Korean
right?
sauna?
All the Korean stuff, the K-pop, the Gangnam Style, the Squid Games, the K-beauty, the K-food has just really taken off in popularity on this side of the world over the last, I guess, 5-10 years.
Mm.
And particularly recently, there's this, anyone with kids will know this, I'm actually tempted to watch it over the weekend, K-pop Demon Hunters, which I think is Netflix's biggest.
Most watched Netflix show of all time.
I know, it's not crazy. I haven't watched it. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I've seen seen well, it. I've seen bits of it because my kids watch it. Sure. They've watched it more than once.
Is it sure for under 12s more or no?
Yeah, they're 11 and 9 and they love it. So okay. I guess that's what you're dealing with. Okay. Yeah.
But they're probably cool kids though.
Yeah, I mean,
they are.
I mean, they're coolest kids.
So apparently in K-pop Demon Hunters, it just brought to the fore again this thing that is one of these Korean culture things. And it's called, I'm going to murder the pronouncement of this, Yangimori, I think. It's called a sheep's head towel. And it's basically how you can make this towel. You can find out how to do it on YouTube. Put this towel into the shape of essentially a Princess Leia earmuff.
Did you say Yamamori? Is that not a restaurant in Dublin?
Yangimori.
And that's Japanese, not Korean.
Yeah.
Yangimori, I think it. And a Korean spa, I think, is called Jim Jill Bang. Oh, I'm so sorry. I've absolutely mangled those. But thought this is kind of gas. I bet you I would nearly put money on it that this weekend at Electric Picnic, somebody will be going around with a sheep's
Sorry, but
head
what is it? It's your towel.
So basically, when you go to the sauna, you get the towel and you fold it into this Princess Leia shape. You pop it on your head, protects your hair, your ears, your eyes.
It's not like the old fashioned way of twirling the towel on top of your head.
It actually looks like.
Is that old fashioned?
Yeah, slightly, Alison. I hate to break it to you.
But it basically is what they used in saunas, and it's been used now in sort of pop culture in the K arena. Yeah. And there's lessons on how to do it on YouTube. And I just think it's the kind of thing that, and I'm doing finger waggles here, cool kids will start to emulate and wear around the place. Like I said,
just wear out and about.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if somebody at Electric Picnic was wearing a sheep's head towel.
Mm.
It is actually kind of cute when you look at it. Okay. I think of a lot of the Korean stuff as very kind of cute
like
and kitschy. And yeah.
Yeah,
there you go. That's just like a random thing, like everything else I saw.
There's an international flavour to what you want to mention as well, isn't there?
Yes, I'm just back from Portugal.
Oh,
yes.
It's a brag.
Yeah.
Where were you?
Well, we started off in Salir and then we went down to Portimão and Algarve, basically.
Yeah.
Which I feel like I have a very good grasp of the geography now.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. But we went to a town called Alt, which is north, like about 45 minutes north of Faro. And it was so beautiful. It was so lovely. But the best thing about it is there's a spring that goes through it that's like a man-made canal.
Yeah.
And it was 34 degrees that day. I don't like heat. I think I might have mentioned this at some point. I have a small temperature threshold, but I just dove right into that thing. And I think I actually turned to a brick of ice.
Is
like,
that cold?
I think it's the coldest water I've ever been in.
And I like my water room temperature.
But it was just really lovely. And I know a lot of people that listen to the show, a lot of Irish people in the Algarve. We met Dennis. Hey, Dennis, if you're listening in Elvore. We met loads of Irish people there. So I know people will be listening. And if they're planning their next trip, and it's off the beaten track and loads of restaurants, including one that has a little donkey that watches over you when you're eating.
Oh.
And it's just not crowded. There's like 2,000 people that live there permanently and it's beautiful.
Do they also sell the spring water that you dove into to drink?
The 19-euro bottle did come from Portugal. I don't know if it's exactly...
You could be having
area.
Some Alison's DNA in a glass with your dinner.
Oh, sorry.
Delicious.
It's like salt burn.
Happy meal, everybody.
Oh,
it smells like salt burn.
It is. Ruth, that's a pretty sick way of wrapping things up.
It was so cold and so lovely. I loved it.
All right. Do you say donkey then, not donkey?
Gosh, am I saying everything wrong today? Donkey.
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 What do you say?
You don't say monkey, do you? You say monkey.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter.
What do you say?
We're not talking about monkeys.
Donkey.
Oh my God.
Monkey, donkey.
I think you need to take
monkey,
a serious
donkey.
Look at yourself over the weekend.
Donkey. Donkey.
Do you know one word that I will never, ever be able to do? And I feel like a poser if I did. And I've been living here for over half my life. I still say tomato. If I go tomato, I go, God, that sounds wrong. That sounds really wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Look at you.
I know.
You cute Canadian.
Anyway, on that note, Ruth Scott, radio presenter, humanist Atterburn. Thank you very much, Ruth. Alison, thank you as well. Presenter of Weekend Breakfast on Today FM.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.